3 o'clock, Raw. Yeah, you know the way it went down with the sandwich. You heard the sandwich thing yesterday. It spilled
over. You just
over
went
into
right
the
back. You
Sedano LZ cap
like
show
nothing ever happened.
Well, I mean, what? Look, I eat a certain thing every day. I eat certain things every single day. I am a creature of habit, and that breakfast sandwich, reduced fat turkey bacon cheddar, has been part of my routine for 7 or 8 months.
Right.
So. But it's so hard then, to break that.
But then don't cry to the world when you get a tooth in your sandwich if you turn around and go right back.
What, are you supposed to just take the tooth in your sandwich and not mention it to anybody?
No, you're supposed to go find somewhere else to eat.
Cautionary tale.
Exactly.
Cautionary tale.
Except you didn't heed the caution.
Yeah, I did go back and eat it. And what's really
you
bad...
You understand the conflict there, right?
They decided this, too, with Sedano and LZ and Cap, that not only did I go back for a sandwich today, I actually finished yesterday's sandwich mm-hmm. after finding the
yeah.
tooth.
So you ain't got a leg to stand on with this complaint, man.
No, I don't. I blew it. I could have. I could have been like the shrimps and the Cap'n Crunch cereal and could have become a worldwide phenomenon, but I decided no. No, I'll handle this quietly.
You know that's really gross to finish the sandwich after finding the tooth.
You know, it is. It is really, and in retrospect now, I look at that and think, but I was hungry, but I probably shouldn't have finished the sandwich.
Probably not. What's it going to take to get you to stop eating that sandwich? Do you need like 3 teeth?
Yeah, more teeth, hair, right. All kinds of
like,
stuff.
What is it going to actually get you to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, aren't you like that? Don't you like eat the same food every day at the same time?
No.
Yes.
No? Greg, you do?
Yeah, I do. I eat the same thing all the time.
John, what about you?
I could eat the same thing all the time, but I try not to. But I mean, it wouldn't bother me if I did. I mean, I try and eat a turkey sandwich for lunch almost every day. I ate a chicken sandwich today.
Yeah. I'm breakfast sandwich. then after the show, I'm yogurt and I'm almonds and walnuts. And then dinner, we get our food from a place called NutriFit, which I strongly recommend, by the way. If you're looking for like a meal service,
wait
a NutriFit minute. Is fantastic.
Didn't you say yesterday you've been gaining weight?
Yeah, that's because they broke back into the donut world a little bit. So I lost it that way. So I have gained a little bit of weight. But no, the NutriFit stuff is fantastic. But I eat that. That's basically my day. It does not change, and so I ate the sandwich anyway. So Anthony Davis comes back last night, looked a little rusty, played 17 minutes, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 of 10 from the field. John, what did you see?
I don't think that was Anthony Davis. I think that when he gets back to his normal self, you're not going to see him go 2 for 10. So I wasn't panicked by it. The thing I was encouraged by was how good all the people played around him. For example, you know, AD only played 17 minutes. But Andre Drummond figured out a way to get 19 rebounds with Anthony Davis out there a lot of that time. Dennis Schroeder, I thought, had his best game as a Laker.
Wow, he was great.
Played 38 minutes, 9 of 13 from the field.
Yeah,
25 points, 13 assists.
Yep.
I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was the leading scorer for the Lakers last night. 6 of 12 from 3. Had 29 points. If those guys play with that, AD gets back to playing like AD, and LeBron comes back, look out. So I wasn't discouraged at all.
Yeah, I am not discouraged in the slightest. I mean, obviously, we're not going to be able to judge this team until we actually get to the playoffs and we see LeBron on the floor with Drummond and AD and all those guys. At the same time, you wonder, you know, they came out of the box rusty when they went to the bubble last time. They had a really kind of rough up and down 8 games while they adjusted to play in the bubble. Are they going to go through a period like that again, whether it be in the final week of the season or it's in the play-in tournament if they fall that far or if it's in the first round of the playoffs?
It's a fair question. They were not a good bubble team last year until the playoffs started. That's why I would love for LeBron to come back a little bit earlier than, let's say, I mean, there's some speculation out there that LeBron may come back just in time for that last home game where they raised the banner, which would give him that, and then the 2 road games to end the season. It would be 3 games before the playoffs start. I'd like to see him get a little more time than that, but it is what it is. You know, I think if you have LeBron and you have Anthony Davis, and especially you have those other 3 guys that I just mentioned, Schroeder, Caldwell, Pope, and Drummond, playing the way they played last night, that they'll be a really tough out.
Oh, without question. Really tough out. I mean, I think they're favorites to win it. I still think they're favorites to win it, as long as everybody's back and everybody's healthy. And the way Brooklyn is shook up now, too. Durant's not playing. James Harden's not playing. They said something about him going back to square one. Philly lost last night. I mean, I think it's lining up perfectly for the Lakers right now. Perfectly.
Who's the team in the West you think could give the Lakers the best series?
Clippers. As much as I hate to say it, I think it's the Clippers. They're even winning games where guys sit.
Right, but what I'd love to see is that the Lakers and Clippers end up on opposite sides of the bracket. For example, if the Lakers stay where they are, stay in the five, and the Clippers stay where they are in the three, then they only could meet in the Western Conference Finals. And we all know the Clippers can't get to the finals of the West because they never get past the second.
The Clippers have always sucked.
They've always sucked. I think that's – and I'm afraid we may get them in the first round. I mean, if they're the three and we're the six.
Bring it on. Round. It'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. It'd be interesting. That's the one series I'd be the most nervous about. Wouldn't you be more nervous in a series with the Clippers than any other team in the West?
No, I would love to see it. I think it'd be really fun.
No, but aren't you more intimidated by that? If you think of opponents in the West, isn't that the toughest opponent they would face?
I would put Utah a little bit ahead of them.
You would.
Yeah, Utah's really good, and Utah shoots a lot of threes, and they have Gobert and Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley. And I just think the Clippers have this thing that they underachieve in the playoffs. So maybe it would be different this year. I mean, I'm sure they're going to break through at some point. But I would rank Utah a little bit ahead of the Clippers right now.
Yeah.
I would put Phoenix ahead of them.
Phoenix is playing great. By the way, why is there no support? I got an email about this, and it's a really good point. You know, Phoenix has been completely transformed as a team. They've gone from bottom dwellers to number two in the West. Why isn't Chris Paul, and I know the numbers don't necessarily bear it out. I think he's averaged 16 a game and 10 assists. But why isn't Chris Paul more in the MVP conversation?
Because he's not the best player on his own team.
He's the guy that transformed the whole thing. Leadership, makeup, all that stuff went along with him.
Right, but I don't think you can win the MVP if you're not the best player on your own team. The best player on that team is Devin Booker.
He's the best scorer on that team. I think that's different from being the best player.
Yeah,
he's
the best scorer.
On
at the
team.
End of games, when you need a bucket, you're going to
Booker.
I saw
what that team looked like last year without Chris Paul.
Well, they went 8 straight at the end of the year in the bubble.
Yeah, but they didn't go anywhere. I think this Phoenix team's got a chance. They'll sneak up on somebody. They'll sneak up on somebody. I don't think you want them in the first round. All right, so I wanted to throw – by the
hey,
way,
Mace,
start,
real fast, real yeah. fast. Whatever happened to that medium that you used to go to?
You know, Dora the medium.
Yeah. He was Dora the medium.
It was you? Happened. It was you the whole time?
No, it wasn't me.
Was it
Do you
Juan?
Think I can write with that level of – spirituality.
What are you talking about? You wrote a whole screenplay. Of course you can write with that level of spirituality and creativity.
It was Jaime in the other room, wasn't it?
No, it was not Jaime, first of all. Now everybody's doing that. It's Juan. And no, that was a woman from St. Louis, and you scared her off. And she was actually doing well.
Right. Maybe she'll come back.
Yeah.
Magically.
Yeah, I've asked with several times we exposed that. I said, send me her email address. Never
and
sent
I
it.
Did.
No, you sent me a copy of the text of her email.
You stuttered too, man.
Yeah, right.
I
thank
totally
you, Jorge.
Did.
Why are you stuttering, man?
Okay, want to hear something cool? Finally, I get a nerd on the show, right? So Lindsay, she likes Star Wars, but doesn't like Marvel. John doesn't like Marvel or Star Wars. Greg Bergman likes both, right?
Yes, I do.
Did you hear about what ESPN is doing with a game, what they're calling a Marvel cast?
I saw it, but I didn't see what it's about. Explain.
So on May the 3rd, they're airing a special edition of the Warriors-Pelicans game. You can watch the game normally on ESPN without any of the extra stuff. But if you watch ESPN2, you will get a Marvel cast that will weave elements from the original Marvel story and characters, including Iron Man, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Captain America, Black Widow, Doctor Strange, into the live action. The broadcast will use 3D virtual characters, animation packages, and customized graphics to tell the tale of the Avengers, watching the matchup in hopes of finding new heroes to help them fight an invading alien army. Now, it sounds really, really complicated, but being a fan of the MCU, I'm definitely watching that. What about you, Greg?
Yeah, I think I will watch it. It kind of reminds me of the slime stuff from Nickelodeon.
It does. It does. It's finding a different way to present a game.
Right, and it gets other people involved. That there's Marvel fans that don't watch the NBA that may be like, oh, I'll watch that now.
Yeah, Ireland, so don't you think that's healthy for the game?
I do. I'm not going to watch it because, as you mentioned, I'm not into that stuff. But I would equate this to when the NFL did a Nickelodeon game.
Correct.
And they would
I just said that. You heard that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did hear that. We actually don't hear all your words, Greg.
All right.
We only hear the important ones.
But if you think about it, the effect of they're not going after the fans they already have.
No, they're going after the casual fans who might not otherwise watch an NBA game but are fans of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Correct. And so I think it's smart.
Yeah, I think it's really smart. I think it's really smart. It sounds good. Greg, have you watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Yeah, I'm excited to watch the finale tonight.
The finale's out. I'm behind on it. Is it worth following up on?
Yeah, I mean, it does a great job. You really should follow up on everything. I mean, it's Marvel. If you like Marvel the way that you say you do, and you do, then yes, you need to watch it because it's going to go into like Captain America 4 and all that, whatever's coming up next. So
I thought WandaVision killed it.
Oh, it was fantastic.
WandaVision was fantastic.
One of the best shows. I've watched in a really, really long time.
Yes, like speaking a foreign language to Ireland.
Yes.
Hey, speaking of movies and stuff, are we going to reveal who won Godzilla or King
Kong? Yeah, it's been long enough.
Or are we going to wait for Lindsay on Monday? What are you guys going to do?
Let's wait till Monday.
We'll wait till Monday.
All right, can't wait.
I'll do the spoiler for Godzilla versus Kong.
So we're giving you people like 2 or 3 days notice now. First of all, anybody who cares about that movie has already seen it by now.
Oh God, yes, you've seen it. It's on HBO.
Yeah, so Monday we'll do it.
Yeah, we'll spoil that movie for you. By the way, Magic of the Movie Sunday night. Will you be watching, John?
Oscars?
Yep.
No.
Got some interesting thoughts on it and an interesting nugget about it that will be surprising to you. That's coming up next for you. Don't forget, at 3:45 is Game of Games. It's Ireland's game today. We will do that coming up. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Why'd you do this to me? Why, Jorge? Why?
Why not, man?
This is the song that gets stuck in my head.
Well,
I'm going to be having stuck in a moment all weekend long now.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve in San Jose is on the phone with a question. Hey, okay. Steve, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, so I got a question for you guys. After more than a year of dedicated service, you guys still have not bestowed upon Lindsay a nickname, and I want to know why.
Well, you know, that's true. Like, Jeannie Zelasko was Judy Sabluski, and we gave Shosh like 10 different nicknames, including
I call Lindsay Linz, but that's not a nickname.
We called Singer Fruit Cup Dwing, and we called
Dwing.
Bergman Sausage Jeans.
We don't talk about Amanda Brown's nickname. And here's the thing. You guys missed a valuable opportunity. More like a year ago when the pandemic started, you guys were doing limericks and somebody threw in a really dumb limerick about her hair and she said she looked striped like a cheetah. I think cheetah's a perfect nickname for Lindsay because cheetahs are the fastest animal and she's so quick to complain about things.
Oh, I love that.
I think we can make this work.
I think it's playful.
Yep, right. It's playful. It's harmless.
Isn't cheetahs...
It's fitting.
Okay, we got to check a couple things, but I like it so far.
Yeah, I like it. Steve, you may have nailed
we'll
it here.
Full
you
credit,
may have launched
Steve,
a nickname.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to push you guys in the right direction.
Thank you, Steve.
Any sausage jeans or anything like that, but put it back on your meal plate there, all right?
Lindsay the Cheetah. I think I like that. I like that. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the phone call. So, Dodgers-Padres tonight. Good pitching matchup. And I've started the movement on Twitter, John. Don't boo you. Don't boo you. Don't boo you.
I'm not a booer. I don't boo. But if you want to boo you, Darvish, there are a few people who have played for the Dodgers in the last 5 years that deserve it more. Matter of fact, off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone who deserves it more.
What about Manny Machado?
But Machado didn't cost us a World Series.
Machado didn't. He came up short when we needed him. I mean, it's not all about you making it all about the pitching. First of all, Yu Darvish was very good in the DS and the
CS. He did not make it out of the second inning of either one of his World Series starts.
Right, and one of them was in
all right, so I'll give him a pass on that. But Game 7, man, that was his chance to be immortal. Game 7 in Dodger Stadium with a chance to win their first World Series in, what was it, 28 years? I mean, come on.
Yeah, the impression is, though, that he was a complete disaster while he was with the Dodgers, and that is not fair. He actually pitched very well for the Dodgers until Game 7 of the World Series. Now, I don't think that counts as I don't think you should boo the guy. He seems sensitive.
Well, despite right. what you think, I think they're going to boo him anyway. But we'll there aren't very many fans there. So
yeah, there aren't very many fans. I actually don't think they're going to boo him. I don't think they're going to boo Yu Darvish. I don't. All right, John, Sunday night, the Academy Awards on ABC, our sister network, part of our company, I guess. And the slogan is, bring your movie love. Hollywood is looking for film lovers to get excited about returning to movie theaters. To do that, producers picked an entirely new venue to host this year's awards, downtown LA's Union Station, a location that has been featured in over 150 films. Now, there will be a very first of all, the winners are going to be there in person. In order to give a speech, you have to actually be there. So the winners will be in attendance.
So they know they've won.
No, already. If you are nominated, and if you are there, you're eligible to get up and give a speech. If you're if you don't show up, then you don't give a speech. They accept the award on your behalf. So most people who are nominated are going to be at the show, which is different from what we saw like at the Golden Globes and some of the other award shows, which have really, really tanked. The other thing is, you know, ABC makes more money on the Golden Globes than they do on any other day of the year.
On the Golden Globes or the Oscars?
I'm sorry, the Oscars. There are 30-second ads selling for $2.1 million. ABC expected to make $129 million in advertising on the Oscars. So despite the fact that I think the ratings are going to be terrible, ABC is making bank on this stuff.
Oh, and they always have. What will be interesting now? Are Anne Hathaway and James Franco hosting again?
No, but did you read that? There's a great Ringer piece that tells the I think it's the Ringer tells a great story of how that Oscar show came together and why it came off the rails. James Franco claims he wasn't stoned; he just wasn't into it. Anne Hathaway was like a nutty, over the top, like she had too much coffee. That was Anne Hathaway in that one. That was that 10 years ago?
2013.
Yeah, that was a memorable. No host this time. No host. And I'll tell you, here's the one thing that that I think, and I'll, first of all, there's I did a complete Oscar preview with some experts on Culture Pop. You can check it out. Go to Culture Pop or search on iTunes or Spotify for Culture Pop. But the one thing that I predict is going to happen, which is significant, John, is that the four acting categories and the directing category are going to wind up being people of color. It was just a couple of years ago when we said Oscars so white, everybody was white at the Oscars. This time, I think that Viola Davis is going to win Best Actress for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I think Chadwick Boseman is absolutely going to be winning for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. The Best Supporting Actor is going to be Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah. And Best Supporting Actress will be a Korean actress by the name of Yoo Jung-yoon. Best Director will be Chloe Zhao, who's Asian-American. So people of color will have swept all of the major awards at the Oscars. And that's partly because, to go into this a little bit, the Academy started adding people of color and younger people to the Academy a couple of years ago, and that's clearly starting to have a positive effect.
What do you think wins Best Picture?
I think it's going to be Nomadland, which, if you haven't seen, it's a quiet little movie. It stars Frances McDormand. It's about people who live basically on the land. They live in vans and in trucks, and they live year-round there and travel around to different Amazon plants to work for short periods of time, like during the holidays. Nomadland is a great, great movie. The one I would imagine you favor is Trial of the Chicago 7.
Yeah, well, I worship at the Church of Aaron Sorkin, but I really liked that movie. I thought they did a really good job. I thought Eddie Redmayne was great in it. I thought Jeremy Strong, the guy who's on Succession, was very good. And I was shocked at how much I liked Sacha Baron Cohen. I thought he almost stole the whole movie. And so if you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. It's absolutely worth watching.
Did you see Borat's subsequent movie film?
No, but I heard it's really good.
I watched it. I had not seen it. I watched it on the plane back from Mexico. I laughed nonstop at that movie. Nonstop. It's on Amazon Prime. Not even for an upcharge. You don't have to rent it. It's just there. But if you haven't seen it, the actress in it is named Maria Bakalova. She is so friggin' funny as his daughter. Just fantastic movie. So if you're looking for laughs, Borat's subsequent movie film is a great place to go. All right, John, I wanted to hit this before we get to a break. That thing that you were talking about that was such a big deal.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
You know, the big thing that you were going to talk about?
I don't.
Yeah, you told me you had a big thing and you wanted to do it at 3:22.
Nope, I didn't.
Thought I could get away with that.
Yeah, I didn't know you were short on stuff.
No, I'm not sure. I'm not short on stuff. I got a lot of stuff. So did you hear what there was a little clip floating around of Kobe Bryant? And LeBron actually commented on it. Do you have this here, Jorge? This was a little interview piece. I don't know at what stage in his career he did this. But he was asked a question and listened to his answer.
If you were to receive a compliment from one player in the league, whose compliment would mean the most to you?
I don't really care about any of them, really.
I would have predicted really that would have been his answer.
Would you have predicted that would be the answer?
Yeah.
Yeah,
me too. By the way, you know who else would answer that question the exact same way?
LeBron?
No. LeBron cares.
LeBron, by the way, laughed at this and supported this as an idea. He thought it was great on social.
LeBron, actually cares about other people in the league and you know, would value complaint.
Who would it be, Jordan?
No. There's an active player today that absolutely not only would not care about another compliment, but would.
How about Kawhi?
No.
You think Kawhi cares about compliments?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Kawhi doesn't speak, so we don't know anything about him. The guy who just does not care and will go out and kill you, a lot like Kobe did.
Yep.
The guy who is the best killer instinct in the NBA today.
Yep.
Is Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard will beat you. Like, you could tell Damian Lillard all the great. He was like, you could shower him with compliments for an hour and he'd still drop 50 on you. He just does not care.
Yeah, he does not care. He'd be great. Although I don't think, I mean, at your core, like you, don't you enjoy getting compliments? Doesn't it mean something to you when somebody says, wow, you did a really nice job. That was really good. You're really good at what you do.
Depends who it's coming from. If it's for somebody I respect, absolutely.
What about if it's for listeners?
If it's just somebody off the street saying it, I'll say thanks. But
listeners?
No, I always appreciate when listeners say nice things.
Yeah.
That's why
we take calls now is because I like when listeners call in and they say nice things.
Mm-hmm. No, the reason we take calls is because our new boss, Tim McCarthy, told you had to take calls. You hate taking calls more than anyone I know.
Greg Bergman.
Yes, sir.
I was always pro calls, was I not?
I refuse to answer that question.
Well, and wasn't pro calls either.
And
if it was up to you guys, we never would have had a guest or a call.
I did not block Michael Thompson from the show.
Okay, yes, you did. But half of the...
By the way, Mace, that lie, there is no one who doesn't know it was you. Literally.
Why is he on every day the moment Bergman's gone?
It cracks me up because you finally came around to
my side. If I didn't want Michael
on,
do you think he'd be coming on every day?
No, but he finally won you over.
Bergman opens the door for Michael. What are you talking about? You didn't want him on.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. I always loved Michael.
And the fact that you now put Greg on the spot like this, you made Greg take the hit for you on that.
I did it without saying anything either. The whole time.
Why are you getting this song stuck in my head again? What is this, just mess with me day? It's supposed to be F it Friday, not mess
up,
with
line
Mace
up,
Friday.
Man.
Damn. All right, so I want to ask you guys a real question when we come back. A real question about being stuck on a desert island. For real.
Oh, good.
Not like the, what three things would you bring? I'll bring
Mount Rushmore of desert
islands. Yeah, it's none of those things. It's a real story, and I want to put it to you coming up next for you. Don't forget, Game of Games is coming up at 3:45. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, you know the alliance will not end because I'm a huge fan of the LSK show.
SLK.
They are fantastic. I listen to them every day. Lissick, I call it.
The Silk Show.
The Silk Show.
That's silky smooth.
Silk! That's really good. Sedano, LZ, Cap, Silk. You going to incorporate that there, Greg?
Yeah, probably not.
All right. It's Jorge's idea. I'm just running it out there. I got no skin in this game. All right. So we always ask this question. We ask this question all the time. If you're stuck on a desert island and you could only bring one album, if you're stuck on a desert island and you can only have three things, like all those sorts of questions.
Right.
Those are all like pie in the sky hypotheticals. I'm going to give you a real scenario and see how much of a survivor you would be. Mm-hmm. There was a boat crash off the coast of Japan, and three Japanese folks landed on this deserted island, and nobody knew where they were.
Okay.
Two men and a woman. They were left alone for 33 days. It took them 33 days to be found.
Okay.
In the meantime, they lived off rainwater, coconuts, and rats.
Okay.
Would you survive 33 days, rainwater, coconuts, and rats?
Well done!
Those are what you've got available to you.
So I take a lot of pride. Lisa laughs, but I take a lot of pride in the fact that I really don't need to eat. Like, I can go 2 or 3 days without eating anything and be fine.
Really?
Yeah. It's just never
You are so unhealthy. You're like the unhealthiest person I know.
Or I'm the healthiest person.
I may carry an extra chunk of 5 pounds on me, but you don't sleep. You don't eat.
Well, I don't eat, but I don't need to eat. There's a difference.
Says the guy that eats donuts every night.
Yeah. So I think I would survive longer than you because I don't need food.
I'm a friggin' resourceful guy. Are you kidding me? I am one who does what it takes. If it would take, you know, barbecuing rats for me to stay alive on that island, I'm staying alive on that island.
Yeah, I definitely...
Do you question that, by the way?
That you would do whatever it took to stay alive?
Yeah.
Well, you would do more than me. I would be very happy just checking out. You know, like...
What do you mean, checking out of what?
Life.
No.
Yeah, why am I... When I'm not
You're going to go that easy? You're going to be that big of a pushover?
I'm not eating rats. No, I've had a great life.
Where's your fight? It's only for 33 days. Where's your fight?
I'm old. Come on. I've had a great life.
Mace, it's rats and fish. You can fish, right?
Yeah, well, what about that?
Well, you could fish. Although this
exactly.
is, I'm just going with what the story says. They survived
days.
On rainwater, coconuts, and rats. Would you survive that way, Jorge?
33 days? 30.
Yep.
Yeah.
33.
It's a month. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Ireland's just like, oh, take me now,
well,
God.
No. I'd be, well, there's a couple other things. Like, you said two men, one woman, right?
Correct.
Do you think she hooked up?
Oh, I don't know.
And what it would be hard to be the guy that she didn't pick, right?
Right. I mean, for all I know, it could be a couple and some guy that got stranded. I mean, I don't know. The key is the coconuts, the rats, and the rainwater. And I'll tell you, I would survive. And I'll tell you another thing. We always do this zombie apocalypse. I would be the one survivor of the zombie apocalypse from this group. This group is soft, man. You are a soft group.
No, the harder question is this. So let's say the four of us are like on the Titanic and we have a lifeboat.
Yep.
And it only has three seats.
Okay.
Who dies? You get to pick who you throw off.
Really,
of the boat.
Really tough.
But you have to pick someone. Mine's easy.
Mine's easy too.
Mine is you, because you're a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I would stand. See, I think that Greg and Jorge and I would split chores evenly.
Yes.
You're a dictator. You would just be bossing people around, being a pain in the ass. We get rid of you, and that's a much more harmonious lifeboat. Greg, would you not agree?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you did say that you would just off yourself anyway.
Yeah, right, which makes me really attractive for the lifeboat, because then if you get into a situation where you got to sacrifice somebody else,
well, here's
I would
the
just
thing.
Go,
it'd be you,
if
so
you
just
don't,
me and Jorge.
If you don't care, I'll take your seat. Yeah. You apparently don't value the beauty of being alive every day. You're just like, take me now, God. I'm on an island. Take me.
Well, I have great faith that what awaits me in the afterlife is going to be really good. Do
me
you?
Too, but I still got stuff to do.
Like what? What do you have to do?
I've got my Culture Pop podcast.
Nobody listens to the Culture Pop
of
podcast.
Of course they do.
Come on, man. That's what you. That's the reason you're going to stay alive is
yes.
to do the Culture
Staying
Pop
alive. Podcast. And by the way, if you should check it out. You'll see why I would stay alive. Search Culture Pop on Spotify or iTunes. No,
Did I tell you I had a really weird dream?
What?
You'll love this.
Okay.
This speaks very favorably of you. Something happened to me, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but I became like instantly famous. Like I did something like I broke up a bank robbery or something.
Okay.
And everybody was after me. Okay.
Got
so
it.
Like I was the get, like, you know, Barbara Walters and Diane Sawyer and Hard Copy's calling me and Inside Edition. Is there still Hard Copy? I don't even know. And I said, I'm doing one interview. I'm doing Steve Mason's Culture Pop.
Oh, yes.
I think it's because you and I had so much fun doing those podcasts, and everybody's like, what is this? Who is this podcast? What is it? What are you talking about? So you and I literally, I was going to give the story to you. I had one choice of who to give it to, and you were the winner.
That is awesome. If you had a podcast,
yeah,
I'd still go with Oprah.
Yeah, I would. I don't play.
still going with Oprah.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is you can't even go against what Harry and Meghan said in the podcast, or you get canceled. Have you noticed
that? What
do
you mean? What did they say in the podcast?
No. Like Piers Morgan came out and said, I didn't believe everything that Harry and Meghan said in Oprah's show.
Then he stormed off the set.
And then he got canceled. Then Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah, right. Whoa. He quit.
Right. But then Sharon Osbourne stood up for Piers Morgan, got canceled. You can't go against Oprah. That's the bottom line.
Yeah,
of that
but
story.
Sharon Osbourne got canceled for other stuff. So you're not telling the whole story. There's a bunch of stuff.
Well, there's
the
always
scenes.
More to every story.
Yeah, no, there's a bunch of stuff behind the scenes, mocking people's race and stuff like that, that went into the Sharon Osbourne thing. But no, I mean, Piers Morgan just walked off the set, said, "I'm done. I'm not doing this job anymore." He canceled himself.
I'd love to go out like that. I'm leaving. I'm walking out.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will be out of here in about 20 minutes.
Okay. By the way, all right. So what's coming up is a game that is so loaded towards Mason that Greg or Jorge, if you pull off an upset here, and I think you can do it. It's not impossible. But if you upset Mason, it will be the most devastating loss of his games career. Mace,
oh,
this
God.
Is a game that literally is tailor-made for you. I can't.
Okay.
When I tell you what it is, you'll agree, and you're a heavy, heavy favorite. You're like an overwhelming favorite to win this thing. I'm trying to think of the last time anybody. You're like the Dodgers in baseball this year, and Jorge and Bergman are like
the Padres
and the Marlins.
The Padres, gutty little Padres.
No. Don't insult us like that.
You're right. That is an insult.
Yeah, come on.
All right. Game of Games is coming up next for you. It's Ireland's game. Apparently, it's going to favor me, so I'm looking forward to winning into the weekend. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is Game of Games time. It is sponsored by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber. They want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. Game of Games time. And John says this game heavily favors me. Which
well, wait till I tell you what it is.
Okay.
This Sunday is the Oscars,
yep.
So I have an Oscars-related quiz.
Okay.
I'm going to describe a movie that was at least nominated for Best Picture.
Okay.
Have won Best Picture. No, not this year. Ever. It may have won Best Picture. Some of these were just nominees. Your name is your buzzer. As soon as you think you know the movie I'm describing, buzz in. I have seven of these, and a tiebreaker if we need it. Now, today it is Jorge, Greg Bergman sitting in for Lindsay, and the heavy favorite, Steve Mason. You guys ready?
Ready.
Okay. This was a scary movie that was nominated for Best Picture. It's a two-word title. It follows a character named Chris Washington, a young black man who uncovers
Mason. Get Out.
Get Out is the correct answer.
I was thinking Us. I'm like, no, what is it? It's the other one.
Okay. This movie nominated for Best Picture starts in 1987. A Wall Street stockbroker works...
Mason. Wall Street.
Incorrect. That opens the door
left
for
wrong.
Bergman. All right, a Wall Street stockbroker works for L.F. Rothschild. His boss, Mark Hanna, played by Matthew McConaughey.
Jorge. Ooh. Dallas Buyers Club or something
no.
like that.
No. Oh. Bergman, ooh, this is all yours now. Introduces him
Wolf
to the...
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street. Oh. Right. And Greg Bergman is on the board. All right. Number three. This movie nominated for Best Picture is a sports movie. It tells the story of a high school football player in Memphis who overcame...
Mason. The Blind Side.
The Blind Side is correct, and Mason takes a 2-1 lead.
Yeah, we're not going to do too well at this, Jorge.
I know we're not.
What are you talking about, Greg? You're only one behind.
You're only one behind, Greg. Don't throw in the
After being the third guess.
All right. This was nominated for Best Picture in 2010. Toys are mistakenly delivered to a daycare center instead of the attic. Greg.
Toy Story 3.
Correct!
Oh, oh even got three on it.
Nails it.
Wow.
Andy, before Andy leaves for college, is up to Woody to convince the other toys they weren't abandoned and return home. It is 2-2. George, you alive out there?
Yeah, hanging in here.
All right, here we go. This Best Picture nominee is a movie about an agent. The biggest clients, the respect,
Jorge.
A beautiful... Jorge.
Maguire.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, Jerry Maguire.
Damn.
Nice.
Good job, Jorge.
Okay. Oh,
this
wow.
This game is not the walkover I expected.
Okay. This movie was recently nominated for Best Picture. It begins with the hero being crowned king following his father's death.
Mace.
But he's challenged. Mace.
Black Panther.
Black Panther is correct. He is challenged by Killmonger, who plans to abandon
Played
the
by
country.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yep. All right.
Mace Great movie.
Has a 3-2-1 lead. Okay. All right, you guys. You got to get this or Mason wins it. Either Greg, you have to get this or Mason wins it. So, Jorge, you're out of it. All right. This is number seven.
Okay.
This nominated Best Picture is also a sports movie. A farmer is inspired by a voice
Mason.
He can't ignore. Mace.
Greg.
That's Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams, and Steve Mason is your winner.
Yes. Finally. Right. Why can't all the games be like this?
I will do the, and by the way, Mace, you just missed. If this would have been on Monday, it would have been worth two. Monday starts the last five shows of the month.
Right.
All right, so here's the tiebreaker just for fun.
Okay.
This movie was nominated for Best Picture. It's the story of a poor boy who falls in love with a rich girl.
Jorge. Titanic.
Titanic!
Yeah, see?
Should have gone to that one earlier.
You gave them the easy ones.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you very much. I am on the board in the month of April. It is, though it is Ireland 8, Lindsay 3, Jorge 2, Momo 2, me and Michael Thompson 1 each.
Yeah, but you guys can catch me next week because everything's worth 2.
Nice. All right, Jorge, what is the out time officially?
Come on, I just told you, man. 53.
What is it?
53,
thank you very much. All right, I wanted to ask, this is an email that came in from James Hong.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it has an answer. Let's see if you have an answer. Which championship would be more meaningful this year, Dodgers or Lakers?
Both.
No, but that's cheating if you say both.
I
would say Lakers for only this reason. It puts them ahead of the Celtics. The Dodgers got the monkey off their back last year. The Dodgers are going to be in the World Series hunt every year moving forward. But the Lakers and the Celtics are tied with 17 titles each. They're basically in a battle to determine who is the greatest NBA franchise of all time.
Yes.
The Lakers have a lot more recently. The Celtics have won one title in the last 30 years. But they still have 17, and the Lakers have 17.
Yep.
So for that reason, I would lean Lakers. What do you think?
You know what? I'm going to agree for exactly the same reason. That 18 is a really, really big deal to me, to achieve supremacy in the history of the National Basketball Association. It would be unbelievably meaningful. Also, we're at a position where I think the Dodgers are going to win the division every year for the next 5 years. I'm calling it right now just because they're so deep and they have such great resources and all that stuff. LeBron is going to, at some point, he will seem a little bit older. So far, he has not. His age 36 season, what we saw earlier this year, he looked fantastic. But at some point, he will age. And Anthony Davis will step up and maybe carry the team. So there's a sunset at some point with LeBron that doesn't exist for the Dodgers. So the Lakers should win now and achieve that 18.
And there's also the fact that both AD and LeBron have been out for so long this year.
Yeah.
That to overcome all of that and still win, yeah, that's more meaningful.
And we're the Lakers station, so it would be better for us.
Better for us.
And by the way, just to know how much it would annoy Boston, this was a very funny graphic, I will admit, before I even tell you the story. But this is how they look at things. When we played them this year, they put up a graphic that said NBA championships, Celtics 17, Lakers 17, and there was an asterisk next to the 17.
Oh, because they said
and at the bottom they had it in parentheses. This includes 6 in Minnesota and 1 at Disney World. Which I have to admit is pretty funny.
They included
still,
Disney World.
Yeah, this includes 6 in Minnesota and 1 at Disney World.
If the Celtics won at Disney World, would they be still putting that asterisk?
No, of course,
absolutely
no,
not.
Of course not.
And
of
by the way,
not.
They were in the bubble championship hunt and they choked. They lost to Miami when they were a higher seed.
All right, so let's wrap things up. First of all, anytime over the weekend you want to reach out to the show, you can email venicemace@gmail.com. We've been getting a lot of cool emails, and we may read your email on the air. It is a big weekend. Dodgers, Padres, we'll be all over that for you on Monday. Dodgers tonight, Clayton Kershaw versus Yu Darvish. Tomorrow night, it's Blake Snell versus Trevor Bauer. I'm actually going to that game. Tomorrow night also, Lakers are playing in Dallas again. Anthony Davis is back. We'll see if he gets a little bit more run tomorrow night. Lakers trying to avoid the play-in tournament. We've got all that stuff coming up for you on Monday, plus Fast Track at 1:55 and all that stuff. So make sure you are here for that. In the meantime, it is time for the show that I inadvertently may have besmirched a little bit earlier.
Inadvertently.
It's Sedano, LZ, and Cap coming up next for you. 710 ESPN.